Hello and welcome to your free therapy session. My name is Hole.
My name is Violet. We have it in the script. We accidentally forgot to switch our names, I guess. So whatever. My name is also Hole.
Sorry, let's redo that.
Yeah.
Hello and welcome to your free therapy session. My name is Violet.
My name is Hole. And this is Therapy Hour.
Because everyone needs therapy.
But not everyone can afford it.
You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. We're broadcasting from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam peoples.
This week on Therapy Hour, we're going to be talking about roommates.
Dun, dun, dun!
With August starting, we know it's move out season / look for a new place to live season.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are a student, you may be looking for housing, and that means that you'll be looking for people to live with.
Most likely.
And whether you're friends with your roommates or not, they do play a really significant role in your life. So, you know, even if you're not super close with them, they're still the people that you come home to mm-hmm. each and every day. And you also share space with them. And that's a very intimate connection or, you know, relationship to have with someone, regardless of how close you are with them. So in the best case scenario, they can add a lot of value to your life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can make coming home really fun and exciting. You guys can have little chats about your day.
Mm-hmm.
And in the worst case scenario, they can make your life pretty miserable.
Awful.
Talk to anyone who's had a bad roommate situation. They can make your life miserable.
Yeah. I mean, I love the way that you said that too, of like how having roommates is going to affect your life no matter what. There's no way to avoid it. Even if you're never home mm-hmm. and never seeing the people that you live with, that in and of itself is like affecting your life.
Yeah.
And as somebody who has lived outside of their parents' home for 5 and some years now,
mm-hmm.
I've had lots of roommates. Both you and I have had lots of roommates. Violet and I used to live in a 7-bedroom home.
Mm-hmm.
And we went through, in the 2-year period we lived there, 17 roommates,
mm-hmm.
which is crazy. Like, I feel like throughout my experience of living with people, because I think altogether I calculated that I've lived with 23 people in my life.
Wow.
Which is also insane.
Yeah, that's wild. In 5 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I've lived from anywhere from strangers to acquaintances to besties.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen all of the different, like, we got really close.
Yeah.
I don't speak to some people anymore.
Yeah.
So I think in general, it's affected my life and it's helped me grow and whatnot, but I think mostly it's shaped my way of living with other people and my ideology of living with other people. So like how to spend time with the people that I live with, and also how do I get space from them, how do I, you know, handle the situations mm-hmm. or issues that come up in living situations.
Yeah.
When is the right time to confront a roommate and when is it time to let go of it? And I think most importantly, like, what makes the best roommate?
Right.
What do you look for now? Because it's kind of hard sometimes. Maybe you're just moving in with someone you think is really cool. But
mm-hmm.
I do think that there's some characteristics, and I'm sure you also have some characteristics.
Totally. Yeah, I think, you know, my expectations of a roommate are really shaped by the type of living situation I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had different expectations for random roommates that I was placed with in a dorm versus friends that I was intentionally moving in with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and in addition to that, I also have different standards for someone who I'm living with in a 2 or 3 bedroom living situation versus a huge house with, like, as Holly said, we had 6 roommates.
Yeah.
So 7, including ourselves. But generally, the main things that I would like in a roommate is someone who's flexible and understanding. And
mm-hmm.
this especially goes for larger housing situations.
Uh-huh.
You have to recognize that we live in a huge house. Everyone has crazy different schedules. And you have to be flexible and understanding to the fact that things are going on in people's lives.
Yeah.
And you know, that will impact the way that we're all living together.
Yes.
I think also I do expect some level of, you know, kinship, I would say, from the people I'm living with. Again, we don't have to be super, super close friends.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I would like, you know, this person to be nice to me. I want to be nice to them. It'd be nice if we had some level of relationship where we could ask the other person how their day was and really be there to listen and, like, have at least bare minimum that level of involvement, if not more. I actually enjoy being friends with my roommates.
Yeah.
And then, you know, most importantly is just mutual respect. Like, that's something that's, like, a non-negotiable for me. You know, and that can come in a lot of different forms. It can come in terms of, you know, respecting the space that we're in, respecting noise levels, respecting cleanliness. You know, something that Holly and I both really like doing in our living situations is like a little bit of give and take.
Yeah.
So I do your dishes sometimes. You see that I've done your dishes, so then you go ahead and do my dishes sometimes.
Yeah.
I bought the butter last time, so next time we run out, you go ahead and pick it up.
Yeah.
I don't want it to be, you know, a tally list of, like, I'm doing more, you're doing more. I just want it to be, like, a mutually respectful give and take.
Yeah.
That's ideal for me.
Mm-hmm.
What about you? What do you look for?
You know, it's actually crazy because I tend to agree with you on one of these things. Who would have thought?
Right. That is so wild.
Crazy.
We should, like, live together.
Maybe we should do that sometime. Yeah, I think that I agree. I think the flexibility and the mutual respect thing is huge for me. Like, I, especially living with so many people, I think that there was never a way that everything could be so, you know, cut and clean and definitely, like, equal in a lot of ways. There were definitely times where some people would be doing more, some people might be buying more things, but I think at the end of the day I thought of it as like, oh, I wasn't able to be home when, like, everyone was doing a big cleanup, so I'm gonna buy the toilet paper, the dishwashing soap, or, like, whatever for the next week or however long. So that's my main thing. I would say in general, though, I did live with strangers before and it was fine and I made it work. I don't really have desires to live with strangers ever again. If it came down to it, I would, but I really prefer living with people I know. I just feel like it makes me more, I don't know, it makes me more dedicated to the living situation. And especially when I'm going into it thinking like, oh, I know this person and I want to make this work for us. Like, that's what would kind of push me,
right?
And it would just feel more comfortable for me. So that's kind of one thing. Same situations that you were bringing up. I think the other thing that I was thinking was, like, consideration, because as much as I think that, I think consideration on both sides. If it's a Saturday and somebody really wants to celebrate the fact that, I don't know, they got a raise at work this past week.
Yeah.
That should be considered alongside the fact that maybe on another day somebody needs to get up to go to class at 7 a.m. and maybe we shouldn't be coming home at 2. And also having moments of mistakes and being like, oh, I did this thing. They called me out for it. Okay, I'm not going to do it again.
Yeah, totally.
So that, and then the other thing I was thinking of also that I didn't really consider until a few hours ago, really, was that this isn't really like a I need it, but something I've appreciated out of my living situations for the past 3 years has been I've lived with people who emotionally support me and that I can come home to and, you know, be really upset and like come back and, you know, I've had a really rough day at school or like something really bad happened. And I've lived with people for the past 3 years that I could come back and sit down with and cry or yell or whatever, which is something that I didn't really think about until, honestly, until, you know, well, we'll get into living with each other. But I feel like in general, like, it's not something I really thought about. And then thinking about in my future roommate situations, I've thought a lot more about, like, oh, I do kind of like living with people that are going to be there for me.
Yeah.
Not all the time. I'm not saying that, but at some aspects.
That is a great one, and that's one that I also feel lucky to have experienced. But I think it's kind of a hard one to ask for. You know, if you were going to like sit down with random people that you're thinking of moving in with, you couldn't exactly be going through a checklist in the same way that you could be like, oh, do you prefer to do the dishes right away or do you leave them for a certain amount of time? You can't really be like, are you going to emotionally support me in the way that I need to be emotionally supported?
No, I'm not going to do that. But that's, again, that's kind of why I think I prefer to live with people that I know. So it's already people that I tend to have some form of connection with and that I would feel better about like talking more openly about things. Exactly. Anyways, on the other hand, do you have any roommate red flags that you want to discuss?
Yes. I didn't really compile a list, but I just have kind of a funny anecdote. I had a roommate who, when we were moving in together at first, they complained to me about how their old roommate would be really rude about them leaving dishes in the sink and generally just being a really messy person.
Okay.
And at first, when they were telling me this, I thought that they were mainly kind of complaining about like the roommate's tone of voice. And I was like, I get it. Like, I don't mind, you know, being asked to do something around the house, but like just being asked nicely is very appreciated.
Yeah.
Turned out this is actually a huge red flag because I moved in with this person. I knew exactly what their old roommate had gone through. Oh. They were a disaster. You know, it was, I don't know, maybe it was a classic case of like what I've been thinking a lot about in preparing for this episode is the way that, you know, the first time you have roommates may be when you move out of the house for the first time. Maybe you're going to university and you haven't lived independently before and you don't necessarily know how to do it yet. And it's a very steep learning curve.
Yes.
And so like, I think maybe that was the case. I think also there's a certain amount of privilege that has taken place in people's lives where they haven't had to pick up after themselves. They haven't had to, you know, do chores around the house. And like, I somewhat came from that. I didn't come from like a huge like chore household. Like I would do dishes and stuff, but I didn't do my own laundry or anything like that.
Yeah.
But I, you know, there was a learning curve and I learned and now I can pretty successfully live independently.
Yes.
And I think other people struggle to have that learning curve. I think that they really struggle. So that was a huge red flag that I didn't really register in the beginning. But now I think if I had someone I was thinking of moving in with and I start talking to them about their previous roommate experiences and they complain about like their old roommate and how they would get along, I think I would listen very intently and see if there are any warning signs in there. Because this person was literally telling me to my face what was going to be the issues moving forward.
And you're like, that your old roommate sounds crazy. Yeah.
I know. I'm like, man, that sucks. Forget about her.
2 weeks later.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Can I talk to your old roommate, please? Yeah. How about you? What are your red flags?
I have the same thing where I didn't really write out a list because I was trying to think about it and I was like, I don't know if I have any red flags, but I do have one and I realized that it's kind of controversial, but I actually would not like to live with people who are extremely neat. I've also done that before where people specifically, you know, want things to be very clean and put away and want it more specifically in the way that they would like to have the home look. And I'm not one here to say that you should just like, I'm gonna like walk into a home and make it a mess, but I don't have the brain of like folding everything and doing deep cleans all the time. I'll do cleaning. I don't want this to be misconstrued in the same way that, you know, this person that Violet was living with was trying to be like, my old roommates are crazy.
Yeah.
But I feel like there's this kind of line of what is considered appropriate and polite cleaning of the home where like things aren't rotting, taking out the trash, things aren't smelling, you don't want to leave all of your stuff out all the time. But also I've lived with people before that are like, if this space doesn't look the way that I want it to look, I'm going to be upset about it.
That's really good. And that's a really good point.
And that's something that now I've looked into, like I've thought about a lot more into like who I'm going to live with moving forward. And it's like, I need someone that's a step, yeah. a few steps down yeah. from that, maybe.
Well, I had an interesting conversation with someone recently who was very self-aware about the fact that they were extremely particular mm-hmm. and they live alone right now. And they were like, I tried to live with roommates, but I just knew I was being horrible. Like, yeah. I literally, what she told me was that she literally got in fights with her roommates about doing their dishes too much, which is crazy. But I feel like it paints a good picture of, like, she realized that, like, her standards were very different, and so she took herself out and started living alone.
Yeah, because I think in general, like, the best thing with roommates is, like, you can't be on either side of any spectrum. You have to be, like, somewhere mm-hmm. in the middle, or it's gonna be mayhem. Mm-hmm. Speaking no. of mayhem,
nice transition, nice segue.
Thank you. Violet, you know, you've told me that you've lived with a lot of people, right?
Yeah.
So out of all these experiences, do you have one experience that maybe was a bit traumatizing and a bit really sticks out to you?
Yeah, I do. you know, as Holly said, we went through 17 roommates in, what, 2 years?
2 years in one house.
Yeah. I wish I knew you were going to do a calculation of the amount of roommates you've lived with in total. But I had this one roommate who was randomly assigned to me my second year in the dorms. And when I moved in, I noticed that the place was very, very messy. She had already been living there, I think, for the past year. But we didn't share a bathroom or anything, so it was mostly fine. I was also going home a lot that summer, so I was out of the house a lot. But there was this one time where I had gone home to visit family. And when I came back, we weren't allowed to have access to our apartment because they were painting it. Mm-hmm. So we got temporarily placed in another dorm. And then when we were allowed to re-enter, I came back into the dorm.
Oh, no.
In which this roommate had been living alone. And there was rotting food everywhere, pizza boxes, the trash hadn't been taken out. And it was all sitting there for weeks because I had left before the painting even began. And then we were gone for like a week and a half or 2 weeks for the painting.
Yeah.
And I was just horrified looking around. And I walked into the kitchen and there was this tray, this like baking tray that was kind of like a deep dish. Mm-hmm. And I like lifted the tinfoil off the top of it. And I don't know how long it was sitting there, but all these like fruit flies flew out of it. And it was just like molding and rotting and like so disgusting. And I just felt like I was at my wit's end. I went into my room. I called my mom. I was like on the verge of tears. I was like, I need to move out. I can't stand this. I go outside. I start cleaning. I'm vacuuming. And this roommate comes over to me and she's like, I found a new place to live. And I'm like, oh my God, that's so exciting for you. I'm so excited for you, bestie. And I was like, just one thing. I saw this baking dish. Love that you're baking.
Love that. Love that you're baking and cooking.
And I just, you know, I saw it and it was looking really gross. And she like made some joke that was a biology experiment, uh-huh. which at first I was like, oh, okay, there's a rational explanation. I didn't know this girl's major. I was like, okay, you're a biology major. And then she laughed and I was like, oh, it's a joke. So it is just disgusting. And she's like, yeah, don't worry. Like, I'm moving out. Like, she's moving out in like a day or something, next day, something crazy like that. And she's like, don't worry, I'll take care of it. I was like, cool. She has her moving out day. I go in the next day. I look in the kitchen. Everything seems to be cleared out. I'm like, okay, cool. She's taking care of it. I walk a little bit further into the kitchen.
Oh, my God.
And I realize that she's just taken it from the kitchen table and put it on the kitchen counter and not cleared anything. Oh, and I, like, hold my breath and, like, look under the tinfoil. And it's all still there. So I grab a spatula and I, like, dink into it and start putting it in the trash or the compost or whatever. And at the bottom of the dish is, like, 100 maggots.
Oh!
Just, like, wriggling around.
God! Like,
so disgusting. Like, I thought I was going to throw up. It was so horrible. The good thing was that the roommate was gone, you know, and she couldn't do any more damage. But the image of those maggots in my brain will never escape my mind, sadly. I will never unsee that. It was really disgusting.
I have heard this story so many times, and it does not fail to literally crawl up my spine. Yeah, like, yeah. I hate moldy food. Mm-hmm. I will just throw things out. I don't care what it's in. I'm not looking at it. And that is my worst nightmare.
Yeah.
I can't believe it. I wonder what was going through her head. Like, did she just forget?
I think it was a classic case of, like, you know, comes from, like, a pretty privileged background, has never had to clean before. But it does kind of perplex me in those situations of, like, okay, you had someone picking up after you. You don't know how to do this. But do you not know how to, or, like, do you not look around and recognize that there's disgusting, like, literally unsanitary mess in the place? Like, does that not bug you? Like, that's what really confuses me.
And I think the thing is, too, like, there is a lot to be said about the different reasons why people may not always be able to, like, clean up after themselves. Mm-hmm. And I, like, completely understand that. And I don't want our listeners to, like, think that we don't consider, like, a lot of other plethora of issues. Mm-hmm. I do, however, think that there is a certain amount of responsibility that does happen when you do decide to live with people.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate that not all of us can afford to live alone. Mm-hmm. But it is said the case of, like, you have to live with other people. And my biggest thing is, like, if you want things to be messy, go
bring them into your room.
Literally go put it in your room or, like, be messy in your room and do your best and just try not to, like, make, because that is so.
Yeah, it's horrible. And I feel like I would like it to be said, because I realize I haven't said this yet. I don't even consider myself, like, a extremely clean person. I'm, like, very middle of the road when it comes to cleanliness. Like, I'll keep things clean. I'll keep them tidy. But, like, things can also get a little bit messy or dirty. And I'm like, it's fine. Mm-hmm. It's not the end of the world. So when I have a roommate who is, like, messier than me, it really sets off alarm bells of, like, oh, I'm a very low bar of cleanliness to reach. And the fact that you can't reach this is really upsetting for all of us.
God, that's awful.
Yeah. Okay, how about you? Yeah. Roommate horror story.
Roommate horror story. I can't say it's a horror story, because I think compared to yours is, like, actually the definition of, like, that is the worst thing in the entire world. Mine is a little bit, like, slightly more tame.
Okay.
But I think it's might maybe reached some people, because I've heard people have similar experiences to this. So if anyone didn't know, I am a child of divorce. Mm-hmm. So I never grew up with, like, people in relationships around me. So that was a big thing that I had to get used to when I became or when I started living with people, especially when I was living with six other people that were all, you know, wanting to date and all that jazz.
Okay.
So I would also like to say, before I tell the story, I've now had some very lovely experiences with my roommates' partners. They can be great. They can be fun. They can, like, actively want to be your friends and even, like, help out around the house. Yeah. It's fantastic. I have no issue with the, like, concept of it now. But I did live with a roommate where their partner was around quite a bit. And the best way I can say this is that this partner would use our house as their own, like, personal study space and would commandeer rooms in the house to, like, have their own, like, study session in.
Right.
And, like, I remember being kicked out of my living room because this person needed to study. I remember being told to, like, be quiet, and that this person was, like, really stressed about the studying that they had to do for their exam the next day. And bear in mind, and I would like everyone to understand this, this person, my roommate's partner, did not live with us.
Yeah.
They had their own home.
Right.
And they used to say that their home was too loud, and that's why they came to our house.
Right.
Right. Which is in...
Which is, like, not how it should be going down. No.
And I have this really blaring memory after, because I lived with this person for a little bit of time, that, like, I had some friends come over and spend time with me. And it was, like, this lovely experience. It was a Saturday night. Mm-hmm. I hadn't seen one of my friends in, like, quite a few months, I think, at that point. And this is, you know, going back to what I was saying about like the consideration part of like, I understand that maybe it's like a few of us are in the back porch having some drinks and it's 11:30 p.m. Mm-hmm. And that sucks. But, you know, maybe think about how I haven't seen these people in a while. And like, maybe you can just put in headphones, you know.
Mm-hmm. So what ended up happening?
Well, then we were told that we had to be quiet. Okay. And I was like, okay.
By the roommate or by the roommate's partner?
By the roommate first.
Okay.
And then they didn't really give a reason why. Mm-hmm. Or I think maybe they did say. I think they maybe had just said like, oh, like my partner needs to go to work the next morning. Mm-hmm. Which I was like, I mean.
Well, why doesn't this person go and stay at their home?
Yeah. And then we went upstairs and, you know, continued to hang out. And then the partner, I remember, came up and like practically scolded me for being loud. And I was like, bestie, you do not pay rent here. Yeah. I do not.
How dare you tell me where I can go in my home, how loud I can be, whether or not I can be hanging out with my friends right now. Yeah. Like, it's really just not your place.
It's really not. Like, you do not pay rent here. So it wasn't like, it was one of those things that so many small things were accumulating with this partner. And I've also had other, like, other roommates' partners act in this way of, like, using the space that, like, I very much pay for and they very much don't.
Yeah.
And like using it in a way that's like dictating like their needs. And it's like not that big of a deal, especially if I like the person. Right. Like if I like my roommate's partner, it's like, yeah, come over, study. Like we'll be quiet. But like on top of all this, like already not having the best relationship like with this person, it was very aggravating. And it happened for like quite a long time. And it was always just like this little thing in the back of my head.
Because in theory, you would like your roommate to like, you know, use the space as their own as well, and if that means like sharing some of that space with their partner, that's fine. But I think that you do need to acknowledge the fact that you do have roommates, and if their behavior and requests are impacting the other people living in the house, like it's not really on you as the roommate to like bend over backwards to make this person who does not live in this home and it has not been agreed upon that they live in this home to feel comfortable while everyone else is deprived of space, time, respect.
That's the thing, is like, obviously I'm not saying that like when you live with roommates you can't have your partners over. That's really not what is I'm trying to say. It's like when the partner is causing the inconveniences of your other roommates, that like then I start to have a bit of a problem with. And this has happened with other friends of mine as well, and they've talked about this before. So if you have a partner and you're living with roommates, let's consider everyone together,
let's
please.
And while we're doing that, we're going to take a quick break to listen to our song this week, which is It's My House by Diana Ross. And when we come back, we'll be reading a few submissions from our listeners this week and discussing the horror stories and successes you all have had with your roommates. We'll be right back.
Tell ya, it's my house. Looking for some outdoor relaxation? Come and take a yoga class with Mat Collective. Running Mondays through Thursdays, Mat Collective offers classes and events at iconic Vancouver locations like Canada Place, Stanley Park, and Kitts Beach. Visit matcollective.com for more information. That's matcollective.com.
How'd it go? Are we done with them?
No. They must have seen you.
I know that you're not too ambitious.
I don't have any friends and you can too. Tune into Teachable Moments on 101.9 FM every Tuesday at 4 p.m. if you're a fucking dork.
I specifically said no geeks.
Well, my mom says I'm cool.
Like I'm not even there at all. And we're back. You're listening to Therapy Hour on CITR 101.9 FM. This week, we're discussing the good, the bad, the evil of roommates.
The evil, oh my goodness.
Well, you're about to hear.
Oh boy.
We reached out to all of you. Thank you so much for submitting. I think this was one of our most responded to prompts. And as much as we want to read every single one of yours, and I definitely did, and they were crazy,
yeah.
We can't include everyone, but we do really love and appreciate everyone wanting to be involved in sending us all of your roommate baggage.
Yeah,
we're going to get it started because we were just talking about some negative experiences we had with roommates, and so we're going to read some of your responses about your negative experiences. So some of these, I was telling Violet before we recorded, some of these are extremely unhinged.
Oh, God.
So one of the first one says, one of the random roommates UBC gave me would leave the entire common area a total disaster. He microwaved frozen raw chicken and it would explode, but he would never clean it up.
Oh my God.
There was also one time the shower started to flood while he was using it, but he didn't let it interrupt him, flooding one of the two bathrooms and sending water into part of the common areas and two of the four bedrooms, and then left me to deal with it. Roommate climate equals new ring of hell.
Wow. Okay, I have seen some UBC dorms that have been treated this way, I have to say. Exploded chicken everywhere, flooding. And it's just wild to me when the person responsible is just not doing anything about it.
The amount of stories I've heard, especially with like the random UBC pairings, like first and second year, and you just move in with these people and you're like, what is going through your head?
How are you living this way?
That's crazy. I'm so sorry to this person. Okay, so this next one says, which is, this one is also extremely unhinged.
Oh God.
It said, I had a roommate subletting one of my other roommates' rooms for a summer who would consistently leave super obscure / dirty items all over our living room. The strangest time was when they left four car doors on the couches and left for 2 days.
Wait, sorry. What?
I know. Isn't that crazy? Four car doors.
Where exactly did they get the... That is so perplexing. Okay.
And use all my towels to... quote unquote, protect them.
Okay. As car doors need protecting.
Right.
Detached car doors.
I confronted them and they just laughed. I think the dynamic of them being an older person made them feel entitled to do what they wanted with no consequence. Mm. It absolutely changed our relationship because I never felt heard when I expressed what they were doing was disrespecting our space and threatening the possibility of us getting our damage deposit back.
That's so real.
So real. So real that second half of the part, not so real about the car doors.
Yeah, that is, I can't say I've experienced that. But I do relate to this idea of like, you know, it's all well and good, you know, you don't get along with your roommate.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you don't spend as much time in the house. That sucks in and of itself. But when it crosses the line of like, this could potentially be costing me money.
Oh my God.
That's so stressful. And when you try and bring it up with them and they just laugh at you, Yeah.
I think the thing too with confronting roommates is it's already so difficult because you think about confrontations in another sense where you can like confront someone and then you can leave and get your space.
Right.
But you are literally like living in the same space. Mm-hmm. And if they dismiss the things that you say and they're not being open to like talking about the fact that space is being damaged possibly and that could affect you, that is really scary. Mm-hmm. And especially as a young person who's probably had a roommate because they can't really afford to live in the city, like those security deposits are expensive.
Yeah.
And landlords are already going to try to do whatever they want to try not to give you the security deposit. Right. So to think that someone is actively doing something that could, you know, financially hurt you, like that's scary and so irresponsible. Mm-hmm. And I'm so sorry. And I really hope you did get your security deposit back.
Yeah. And I would like to know where these car doors came from.
I know, that's what I was going to say.
Whose car?
If you feel comfortable, you anonymous individual, to tell us more about this.
We have questions.
I'm so curious.
Yeah. Yeah. God.
Okay. And then the next one said, I recently had a bad roommate experience. After moving into our house of six, my new roommate began to progressively broaden their needs. Initially, it was very understandable, things like not doing laundry late at night as the sound bothered them. However, this quickly turned into asking us not to hang out all the time in the common area after they had went to bed and being increasingly more demanding about sound. I believe that all roommates should be able to express their needs. However, when you enter into a household, you also make an agreement to respect other people's basic needs. This all occurred during the height of the pandemic, exacerbating these issues. I had a couple of conversations with this person, but ended up becoming bitter. I wish I had said more to them, as it would have saved our friendship. Which I like wanted to include this one because this is what I mean about like the idea of needs being met, and I think what you were also talking about with flexibility is like, obviously, this is your space too, and you commandeer this space as well, because probably you and this other person are paying the same amount or similar amounts of money to be living in a space. But this idea that in a house of six people, you're going to dictate the time of when people can hang out in common areas, when people can speak to one another, there's always a time and place to, you know, talk to people saying, hey, I have to be up super early tomorrow.
Right.
Do we mind just like turning the volume down?
Sure, of course.
When you, and I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but if you move in with multiple people in a house, you are signing up for noise. Mm-hmm. That's just how it is. Mm-hmm. And this is like something that I feel very passionately about because I've had roommates in the past complain to me about me being on the phone in my room. And like,
I'm simply allowed to do that.
We're in a 100-year-old house. Right. The walls are paper thin, if they're even there in the first place.
Oh, God, that's too real.
I know.
Yeah, no, that's very true. And I think, you know, as much as you, like, I think sometimes people have an idea of, like, you can do whatever you want in your room, but common areas are another story. And I think you can even say, you know, maybe give me a little bit of warning if you're planning on having people over. Just send a text. All of that, very reasonable. But at the end of the day, people are allowed to use the common spaces respectfully how they would like.
Yes.
And I think saying that someone can't ever use the common space or have friends over, like as someone personally who loves to host, that would just, you know, that wouldn't be an option for me. I want to have friends over. I'm paying for the space. And within reasonable hours and reasonable noise levels, I'm allowed to have people there.
Yeah. And especially also what this person said about being the pandemic. That's a whole, we could do a whole episode of just about roommates in pandemics.
True.
Because that makes it even more difficult.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm sorry also to this person. And I'm hoping that your living situation is better now.
Mm-hmm.
This last story is crazy.
Okay.
So this person said, also to note to the person, if they're listening to this, I did edit a little bit just to make it shorter. I moved into a house with 9 other people.
Wow, that's a lot.
One of the roommates, a 30 38-year-old man who wasn't there when I met the other roommates before moving in turned out to have 4 kids with his ex-wife who would come over every second week.
Okay.
The kids gradually started coming over every week until there was at least 1 kid in the house at all times. At the same time, there was a girl who was 19 living in the house who lied about her age to move in. Moved in and caused and what in
here was, moved in and told the rest of the house.
Housemate, she was 23 when she was actually 18. Ooh. I think this person meant 19, maybe. I don't know.
Earlier.
And had moved into the house because she was having sex with a 38-year-old with 4 kids.
No, wait, what? Oh my gosh.
No, it gets worse. And when they weren't having sex, they were fighting. My room was right next to hers, and I would constantly hear them yelling at each other, calling each other names, crying, screaming, etc. She would separately tell each of the other roommates that he would be very mean to her. That part doesn't matter. No one knew what to do, and no one wanted to deal with their stuff anymore. Half of the people living in the house at the time eventually moved out because it was affecting their mental well-being.
Right.
After about 4 months after I moved in and some strange and intense house meetings, he eventually agreed to move to a new place for the sake of his kids. A few days later, while he was moving stuff out, she trashed his furniture, stole his wallet, and locked herself in his rooms. He was pounding on the door, and I peeked out of my room to make sure everything was okay and watched her throw open the door, throw herself against the doorframe, and started yelling. She was so manipulative, and we constantly caught her lying to everyone in the house. We asked her to move out, and she refused for another 3 months. No one spoke to her the entire time.
Whoa. That's really wild.
I can't believe this. I cannot believe that this was happening in this house and this person had to witness all of this happening.
Yeah.
And nobody was communicating to you that this person, because like even the beginning of this story with like hearing that like you moved in like unknowingly with someone who had children.
Yes.
And that like, again,
that was enough for me to be like, that's a horror story.
And then you have this like relationship happening.
Oh my goodness.
Between like an extremely young girl and an older man. Mm-hmm. And then also it seems like they're both very not good for one another and not good people.
Yeah.
And like then all of you are being roped into it.
Yeah. And I can't believe it like got to the point where he was like, okay, I'll move out. Like I should do this for the kids, which like true. And then having to witness this like horrifying thing, like it's already uncomfortable enough to be at like a bus stop and there's a couple there that you don't know who's fighting. Oh, but God. Then to have it so extreme in your house, you can't go anywhere. Like even if you wanted to leave, you'd have to like walk past them to like get out probably. God. That's just so uncomfortable and so, like, talk about traumatizing.
Talk about traumatizing. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, sorry about that. I hope those kids are doing okay.
I hope so, too. I hope everyone is doing okay.
I wish everyone the best, I guess. Okay, we don't have a ton of time, but I'm going to read a few of your positive experiences, which I think it was interesting but also unsurprising that there were less responses for positive experiences than there were for negative experiences, because that's at least what I hear. I think it's really hard to live with people. It's really hard to have compatible roommate situations.
Yes.
So let's get into some of the positive experiences people have had. The first one, someone said, the best roommate I've had was someone I was randomly paired with in residence, and we quickly grew to be close friends. I think the main thing that contributed to this being a good relationship is that we love to spend time together, but once we go to our separate rooms, that is our own time, and if we want to talk to the other and the door is closed, we'll knock and ask, is now a good time? And respect their need for privacy if it isn't.
Love that.
Period.
Boom.
Boom.
You've solved and you've cracked the code.
That is a great way to navigate. You know, I love spending time with this person, but it doesn't need to be all the time.
Right.
And having that mutual respect, that sweet, sweet mutual respect.
We love that.
Yeah, love that. Okay, the next person said, I don't have a specific scenario, but in contrast to the other story, I'm not sure which one was their other story, I lived with two close friends for 2 years, and we had a lot of mutual respect for each other and our space, which allowed us to feel safe to express when we felt like something was wrong or messy or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I think open communication and boundaries are everything, especially when living with close friends. Our only two rules were if your bedroom door is closed, you want to be alone and wash your dishes after you use them. And it made all the difference.
I love that.
Yeah, I think setting some ground rules coming into it.
Yeah.
Sometimes you don't always know what those ground rules are going to be.
Yeah.
Like, maybe don't lock yourself in your roommate / boyfriend's room. But I think, like, these are really great ground rules to start with. Like, I think just having this nonverbal signal of, like, hey, it's my alone time. Like, please leave me alone.
Yeah.
It's great having the door closed and just washing your dishes after you use them. Super achievable goals, not setting the standard too high.
Yeah.
I'm glad that this was a positive experience and with two close friends.
Yeah. Well, and also I was going to say that, like, I feel when moving into a house, it is really good to set basic needs down.
Yeah.
Like, and even honestly, before you even move in
yeah.
with certain people, and like, be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Don't lie
yeah.
and tell people that you're really, really clean and
yeah.
you can keep up with that if you can't do it.
Yeah.
It's not going to serve anyone. So I love this for this person and all their friends.
Yeah.
Love that for you.
Okay, our last positive experience is someone who says, my current roommate and I share all household expenses. This includes sharing all food and toiletries. We also help each other
help
each other out to pay rent when the others can't. This trust has given me so much security living in Vancouver, as well as reducing a lot of waste that occurs when someone in the house has to share or has to have
has to have all of the same thing.
Okay. Sorry. Has to have all the same things. For example, 6 sets of shampoo, conditioner, and soup in the bathroom.
Soup? So, I swear to God, I think it's just this person.
Alay, why didn't you edit these?
I didn't have time.
Okay. Soap in the bathroom. True. Actually, I love that. Sharing shampoo. Like, I understand sometimes people want different products, but
that
is true. There is a lot of waste that comes from that.
Oh, yeah.
Moving on, this person also says, I also rarely come home to no groceries. It feels like we take care of each other rather than just live together.
I love that. I don't know if I could do all of the things that I'm so happy that these people have been able to do that. And that feels like a really conscious decision. And I think if it works, it works. I do like think that aspects of that can really be taken into account with roommates of, like, you know, I always think of garlic, butter, oil, like dish soap, like stuff like that, where it's like, well, we're not going to have individuals of all these things. We could, and it might be a little bit of mayhem.
And some people might even do that.
But I do think, like, having this idea, I love this idea of, like, taking care of one another. And it's like, you are living with people rather than living, I guess, I don't know what the other word would be, but, like, yeah, taking care of each other, living with one another, whereas, like, instead of just, like, being in a
coexisting.
Home together, coexisting. That's a great one.
Yeah, I agree. I think everyone has to be equally on board for this so that it doesn't get unbalanced where, like, one person is buying the groceries every week and then everyone is kind of mooching off of that. But I think under the right circumstances, this can really, really work. And it's really nice and refreshing to hear a situation in which it did.
Love that.
Well, thank you everyone who submitted this week. We really appreciate it. We had a lot of fun reading your stories.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to take a quick break to hear some ads. And when we return, we'll be talking about a roommate situation that has really worked well for us. Because if you guys didn't know, Halle and I are roommates currently, and we have been for almost 3.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess you could say it's kind of worked out a little bit.
Just slightly.
You know?
I mean, it's all right.
Yeah. So we're going to be diving into that, and we'll be right back.
Old or New Testament?
I think the New Testament.
The question is, Pilate, you remember Pilate from the New Testament?
What is Pilate? He fiddled while...
Yeah, no, well, just a minute. Let me ask the question, then you can give me the answer, okay? Did Pilate want Jesus to be crucified?
Pontius Pilate washed his hands of it.
So did he want him to be crucified?
Yeah.
No. No. No.
Well, tune in every Friday afternoon, 3:30 to the Night Watch Show on Sunday.
Well, find a good church. It'll help you.
Come see punk rock band McLusky at the Rickshaw Theater on September 22nd. Check out www.rickshawtheater.com for more details.
We're back. You're listening to Therapy Hour on CITR 101.9 FM. As Violet said before, and if our listeners didn't know, Violet and I have been living together for 3.5 years and have by some magical power, been able to not only live together for that long, but stayed extremely close friends. Some may even say besties.
Some may say.
Not me. No.
Not me.
Other people say
Other people it. Would say that.
And I think that most people are pretty shocked when they hear that. And I have to be fair to say that it also kind of shocks me at times. And like, I have lived with close friends before and it has not worked out for the best. And I think that when I did decide to start moving in with friends, I really resented this idea of like, oh, like you can't live with your friends, like never live with your friends.
Yeah.
And I think that I've lived with friends that it's really worked out for us. And I've also lived with friends that it hasn't really worked out.
Yeah.
But I think that for the both of us, we were really, really lucky to find out that we wanted to be close to each other. We wanted to be really good friends. We wanted to like support each other and hang out a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then also in tandem, we're finding out that we lived very similarly, because like, as I was saying in the intro, like as you were going through like this is what I look for in a roommate, these are the things that I don't want to have in a roommate, it's like I struggled to talk about and write things that were different because I was like, yeah, I mean, like me
same.
Too same bestie.
Which is not that surprising because we live well together, right?
And I think that like for us a big thing was after the first kind of round, actually first two rounds, I guess, of quarantine lockdown, that we survived together and stayed friends and didn't hate each other afterwards.
Yeah.
And we were like, well, this is a pretty good thing we got.
Yeah,
going.
I don't see
this.
What could go wrong here at this point.
Definitely not.
Yeah, I think it helped that when we initially moved in together, we actually weren't very close. And I would go as far to say we didn't even really know each other that well.
No, not really.
We were kind of in a situation where we were part of a larger friend group that was all moving in together. And individually, we weren't really that close.
Oh, yeah.
So I think that helped us to realize that we live well together and then build a relationship while living together.
Mm-hmm.
And those things worked in tandem with each other.
Definitely.
But I think some other things that really work well in the way that we live together and why it works well is that we're very comfortable with giving each other space.
Mm-hmm.
As much as we obviously love spending time together, we both enjoy our alone time.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're able to give that alone time to one another without resentment or confusion, because it's like a mutual need that we both have. So it's very easy to meet that with each other.
Yeah.
I think we also have had discussions about what things or friends that we would like to share and which ones of those things that we would like to keep separate, so that our lives can feel connected, but we can also maintain our independence.
Yeah.
So we don't do everything together. So like in addition to making separate plans, we have also never shared classes. We only started doing this podcast together like in the past year.
Yeah.
We don't work together. Like there are certain boundaries in our relationships and in our activities that we keep separate. And I think that really helps us, you know, function in the way that we do.
Yeah. And I think like, it was really wonderful to find somebody that this really worked out well with. Like, it's kind of a, you know, a needle in a haystack. Mm-hmm. And I think that, like you were saying, when having those boundaries of keeping our lives still separate and still together, because, like, we always joke that we spend a lot of time together, which we do. Yeah. And then I think we also take a lot of time to dedicate outward. And then I think the best thing is, like, we realize at some point that we didn't mind when the other one just wanted to, like, go into their room. And that wasn't, like, a bothersome thing for either of us. And that was a big thing for me, because I did live with people where that was an issue.
Yeah.
And I think that was, like, one of the first things that clicked in my head, like, oh, we actually have a good thing going. And I think in terms of living, like, never live with your friends, like, it is always going to be a gamble. But I also think that the another big reason why it's worked out well for us is because we do care about each other. Mm-hmm. And we do want to make things work. So it makes sense that, like, you would move in with a friend and, like, try to stay amicable and communicate as much as you can and do things for one another so that your friendship lasts and you can live with one another as well. But yeah, I feel like in this spirit of self-awareness that we're having with one another and on this podcast, I would love to know from your perspective, Violet, what do you think the best and worst traits of yourself as a roommate are?
Okay, I'm going to be exposing myself. What if my new roommates in Toronto listen to this?
And they're like, we're dropping the lease.
Yeah, they're like, we're kicking you out.
Well, you're going to say worse, and then you're going to say the
best. Okay, we'll start with worse. So I would say one of my worst qualities, which will kind of come back for one of my best qualities too. It's a little, like, okay. Like I mentioned before, I'm very, like, middle of the road when it comes to cleanliness. I'm very, like, flexible to adjust to the, like, cleanliness of the people that I'm living with.
Yeah.
So I will, like, take out the trash, make sure everything, like, kind of looks pretty tidy. Like, if I'm in, like, I have a few extra hours on my hands, I'll probably go and, like, do some dishes that are in the sink, things like that. But on the other side of things, I don't really do, like, major deep cleans and, like, deep organizations, like, very often. And I think if I live with people who have a bit higher standards in terms of cleanliness, kind of what you were talking about earlier, I don't know if I would really be able to fulfill that for them. I think my other really bad quality as a roommate is that I'm really non-confrontational, which maybe some people would think is a good thing because I won't, like, get really angry and, like, mad at my roommates all the time.
Yeah.
But I actually will, but I just, like, won't bring it up to them. And that just fosters resentment. And that is a bad quality.
Yeah.
In terms of my best qualities, I think that I'm really understanding, flexible, and adaptable in my living situation. If you make a request of me, I'll be really mindful of that. I can adjust. I can be very understanding if you're having a hard day, if you're having a great day and you want to be loud and celebrate, whatever. Like, I don't really care. I can be flexible.
Yeah.
But coming back to my cleanliness level, I think that I'm pretty middle of the road, which can also be a good thing, too. It's like, I'm not that, like, extremely messy roommate that you is always bugging, like, is always annoying you because they're not doing their fair share in cleaning things. So, yeah, it could go kind of either way.
Yeah, but I feel like that's, as the person who's been living with you for 3.5 years,
Does that feel accurate?
That feels accurate.
You don't think I'm missing anything?
No.
Any huge red flags that I'm not self-aware about?
This is the time that I should bring it
up,
right?
Oh, boy. Yeah, how about you? As someone who's lived with you for the 3.5 years, I can definitely verify whether or not these are true or not.
Okay.
So, and I will be calling you out live on air.
Okay.
What are your best and worst qualities as a roommate?
Well, I think my worst ones, I am extremely self-aware in this aspect that I am really bad at, like, taking things and bringing them into my room. So like I actually do get annoyed with myself about this, and it's something I've been trying to change for like years now, and I'm just really bad at it. And like I said in the script, like I'm really bad at picking up after myself, but I don't mean it in the way of like leaving like a huge mess and then like just leaving it for the next person. I just notice a lot that like I'll leave like my jackets, like I'll have like three jackets in the living room, and I just like my brain doesn't always like think like, oh, bring that jacket into your room with you, or like I'll leave my I literally just found my shoes in the kitchen the other day.
That's where those have been.
I know. So I think that's like, and I feel like if someone was living with me, that'd be something they'd point out as like the annoying thing that I would do. I would also say I'm not very confrontational, and maybe that is why we work well together.
Yeah, honestly. We have a lot of issues with how the other person lives. We just don't confront each other on
We're
it.
We're just never talking about it. But I will say on the other side of like confrontation with roommates, I do also believe, and this is me getting into like my, I should say my last worst one, and then I'll move on.
Okay.
This is not something that I think I do as much anymore, but previously in houses that I live with, I've done. And then also I can see it happening still in the future, is that I'm not like home a lot, especially when I was in school and I worked and I like had a lot of social things to like do. I just really wasn't around that much, and I could see how that can be bad in some ways, like not being able to foster like the closest relationships with some of the people that I live with, not always being there when like there's these house meetings or cleanups and situations like that, which is why I was like trying to talk about earlier of like trying to do other things to kind of fill that gap. But I know that that's also a negative quality.
Yeah.
And then my best qualities, the thing I was going to say about confrontation is that I'm not that confrontational when it comes to roommate situations. And I truly believe that you don't always have to be. And I'm a very firm believer in sometimes your roommates do something and they really annoy you, and you can go out, see a friend, complain about it for 20 minutes and get over it.
Yeah.
And I think I have been able to do that very well. And that's why I think I've been able to live in like so many, or not so many, but like two very big houses with lots of different roommates, with lots of different personalities, and still like pretty much enjoy my time throughout that. Also like with flexibility and all that stuff, I think I'm pretty easygoing when it comes to like noise, cleanliness, time spent together. If you want to hang out, we can hang out. If you don't want to hang out, we don't have to hang out. I also put this in, I cook nice food and I share it with my roommates.
That is a big perk of living with Halle.
And then also as a little joke, but it's not a joke because it's true, I will be a live-in therapist, because I will sit with my roommates for hours on end and talk to them. And I'm not resentful of it either. Like, I do actually enjoy supporting my roommates and supporting the people that I live with and like giving them an outlet. And like, I know how nice it feels to come home to people that I care about. Or people that I like trust and get to talk to them. So if I can like also give that to other people, I'm very happy to do that.
Totally. Okay, well, verified. Those were all
accurate. Do I get a little stamp?
You get a gold star.
Hell, heck yes.
Okay, we're a little bit over time. Sorry about that this week. But we've got some homework for you all. Your homework for this week is to, you know, maybe if you feel like it, you could self-reflect on how you are as a roommate. Make a list of best qualities, worst qualities. I know it can be hard, but maybe if there's one thing that you realize on your worst qualities list that you could improve on to be the best roommate you can be, that's something that you can work on this week.
Love that. Well, it's that time again. This has been your free therapy session. We're your hosts. I'm Halle.
And I'm Violet. And this is Therapy Hour, because everyone needs therapy.
But not everyone can afford it. Be sure to tune in next week, where we'll be talking about confrontation with our friend Abril Rivera. You won't want to miss this one.